This is the message from Connection Community Church for this Sunday, May 5th, 2013. Bloom Sowing.
Good morning, Connection Church. We are so glad that you're here. This is a place where our mission is to connect people with Jesus and the life he offers. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us, please? God, thank you so much that we have this place to gather to worship your name. It's no accident that any of us are here. You had this in your mind's eye a long time ago. God, I would ask for you to speak into our hearts so that we might learn a little bit more, grow a little bit more, and ultimately, Lord, be transformed by your love. We pray this in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody gathered said, Amen. Amen.
And so it's May, and we thought May would be a good month to be talking about blooming. And in order for something to bloom, first the seed must be planted. So we're going to jump right in this morning, take a look at a parable that Jesus shared that talks about sowing seeds. This is from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. This is the New International Version of the Scriptures. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying,
A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
And so once again, we share a parable that Jesus shared. And, you know, a parable is a simple story that shares a greater truth. Jesus is sharing the story of a scene that the people he's talking to have seen many, many times, a farmer out sowing some seed. Now, I don't think this farmer was sitting atop his big green John Deere, because I don't think they had them back then, but he's using the old basic system of hand sowing seed, most likely. And who knows, maybe even as Jesus is talking, maybe there's a farmer over in the field there as he's talking, catches his attention, and you know, that's what draws out this parable in order to share a story based on what he's seeing playing out right before them. Who knows? But anyway, it's a story of a farmer sowing some seed.
In today's story, Jesus is talking about different types of soil. We see in the scripture that he begins by talking about the soil along the path. Now that path was very, very hard soil. They used the paths to go through the fields. They were common walkways. And the paths, because it was so very hot, almost were like concrete because of the way that the people walked along that way so often. And so the seed that fell upon that soil, that path would have been very difficult to land anywhere except right on the top. So it kind of laid on the top, and it was a snack for birds as they came by.
And then Jesus shares that some of the seed landed on the rocky places. Now for us, this might seem like, okay, rocks, and it fell down in the crags of the rocks, but rocky places there was very different. And in that area, there was like a strata of rock, just very inch or two beneath the surface of the soil. And so when a seed then, the sun would heat that rock up so the seed would germinate very quickly and send down a root, but that root would be hitting against that hard rocky strata and not be able to go very far down. So you have very shallow roots. So when the sun comes out and it's hot, those plants aren't digging down, getting much moisture, and so they quickly wither and die.
The other seed fell among the thorns. The thorns, they were like, you know, weeds, and we have some of those weedy things with thorns in our flower beds.
Oh my gosh, they're horrible.
They're horrible, and anyway, those kinds of weeds would and do quickly choke desired plants that you want in your beds. Anyone who's tried to establish a yard knows about how hard it is to get that good seed, because the bad seed just wants to choke out the good stuff. Weeds often seem to win, don't they?
They are in our flower beds.
They are in our flower beds, that's right. The good seed gets choked out.
And so far in this parable, Jesus is painting a fairly bleak picture, wouldn't you say? He's talked about three kinds of soil, none of which are going to be good for allowing that seed to produce some plants and some blooms. And we're talking about blooming, so something's got to change here. Well, the beautiful thing about Jesus is with Jesus, there is always hope. With Jesus, there is always hope. Can you say that with me? With Jesus, there is always hope. Always hope. And so he points out that some seed does reach the good soil. It reaches the good soil, and when it does, it produces results, incredible results. Some of the seed returns 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's good news at this time of year, all you who are planting. Who's planting seeds this time of year? Anybody? There's the good news. There's some return on your effort, 160-30, as we work in our yards, as we're planting seeds and hoping for something to grow. In Jesus, there is always hope.
Alan, I just saw a very interesting-looking seed planter just come in the door.
Interesting is a very good
word. Could you come up, Mr. Seed Planter? Where everybody can really see you.
Do you have to wear a cheesy wig to plant seeds?
Yeah. So, Connection Church, this is Esau, right? Esau is next door planting seeds with our kindergarten through fifth graders. They are learning all about the Bible over there. Thank you, Esau, for planting seeds with our kids next door. Let's give them a hand. I had to do that quickly because it's really distracting to preach and see that back there.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
Yeah. He surprised us last service. It's like, wow.
Just had to ignore
him. Yeah. So, as we said, Jesus shared this story in a parable. And so Jesus is talking about so much more than seeds and soil. He's talking as much to his own disciples as he is to the crowd that's gathered on the beach. He knows that his disciples are going to be sowing seeds, talking to others about Jesus, about healing, about how Jesus Christ saves. He also knows that not all the seed will take root. Not everyone who hears about Jesus connects with Jesus. But the word of God that we find in this scripture in Matthew 13 is a word of hope, because Jesus tells his disciples there is hope, that there is some seed that will hit the good soil, will take root, will grow, and will bloom, and will bring forth new seeds as people hear about Jesus and become followers themselves.
And then in Matthew 13, 18 through 23, Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of this parable. Here's what he says. He says, "Listen then to to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away.
The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
So in this part, Jesus talks about the evil one, another word for Satan. So let's face it, the last thing Satan wants is for people to hear the good news that Jesus will save them. Amen? Because as we share so many times here, we find in John 10:10, Satan's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your joy, kill your spirit, destroy your life. That's his sole mission. And that mission is the exact opposite mission of the mission of Jesus, which is to give life and give it to the fullest to each and every one of us. And so Jesus talks about how sometimes when we try to share with people about Jesus and what he does, what he has to offer, that other person isn't real receptive, like that hard path where the seed just sits on the top. And when that happens, Satan is able to quickly snatch those sharings about Jesus, snatch them away before they can be embedded.
Likewise, for some people, they hear about Jesus and they get very, very excited and seemingly committed, and it just escalates, and that's awesome. But when it happens too quick, roots aren't established. And what happens is when the challenges of life hit, when things maybe don't go their way, the plant doesn't stay planted, but it actually withers and fades and dies. And so discipleship, walking and growing with Christ, is a one day at a time kind of thing. You know, each day seeking the Lord, and then the next day doing it again, rather than, you know, this whole big bang thing, which is awesome when, you know, the Holy Spirit strikes us, and some of us have had that, but we have to sustain it by us, you know, doing what it takes to stay connected. Otherwise, we'll wither and die.
Amen. And then there are those nasty thorns. Like Carrie said, we have them on the side bed of our house. Those things are absolutely horrible. Weeds, the weeds of this world, you know, the worries and challenges of our day-to-day lives that can take our attention from God, from what Jesus has to offer. And then Jesus gets real specific. And he talks about this a lot. He talks about money and possessions like 1 out of 10 verses where Jesus talks about. He talks about wealth here. And he reminds us that, he doesn't put it in these words, but this is my way of interpreting it, that if we let money become our God, if it becomes the center of our life, it may well choke out what Jesus has to offer us.
And so as Jesus was sharing this parable, he's speaking to the crowd, but especially he's speaking to the disciples. He's getting them ready for the world without Christ, because shortly after this, he goes to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. So Jesus is readying them by warning them what is to come as they do ministry out there in the world. But he also is trying to give them hope and encouragement. Mm.
Who here's ever planted a seed of one type or another? Yeah. Then you understand what this hope, when it comes to seed planting, is all about. It's all about hope. Because just like in the parable, there are a lot of things that can happen that keep that seed from germinating, keep that seed from sprouting, keep that seed from blooming. Can I get an amen, seed planters?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, here's the thing, even with all those challenges, who went and planted a seed a second time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we keep planting, don't we? We keep planting because we know some of that seed's going to hit the good soil. And hitting that good soil, some of that seed's going to sprout, isn't it? And it's going to bloom. And it's going to bloom, and it's going to bloom. And that's what we sow the seed for, isn't it? Yeah.
We did a little bit of research, and we found that there are about 2 billion people who are Christians. That's a lot of Christians, but it really only represents about 1/3 of the world's population. So we have a lot of work to do, don't we, church? Absolutely. That being said, that's a lot of seeds that have been planted. Lots of seeds. I mean, Jesus just started with a handful of followers, and then they spread the word. 2 billion Christians now. Kind of reminds me on a very, very small scale of when we got together as Connection Church before Connection was born. It was 40 people, and that included babies. And God has walked with us, and now, you know, a whole crop of, you know, 600 strong people are here, and God gets all the glory for that. They, back then, when they were scattering seed, didn't have social media, didn't have the internet, television, phones, this mass mail at their disposal. They scattered seeds like the farmer did, you know, by hand, the old-fashioned way. Can you just imagine what that was like? For us, what that translates in is that we probably need to get old-fashioned about the way we scatter seed too. The internet's wonderful. Social media is great, but it's that one-on-one, person-to-person, how we scatter seed. Back then, they scattered seed telling people about Jesus, that he died on the cross, that he paid the price for our sin. They knew that some of that seed that hit the concrete path wouldn't grow. They also realized that some would hit the rocky soil and get choked out by the thorns. They knew, though, that there was good soil because Jesus was telling them a truth. And so as they scattered that seed, they had hope that there would be people coming into a relationship with Christ, and then they would share, and they would share, and they would share.
Hmm. You know, the funny thing is, whether we realize or not, whether we're intentional about it or not, whether we go out purposely to do it or not, we're planting seeds every single day of our lives with every conversation, with every interaction we have. We are planting seeds. And the thing about this soil thing, we can't control the soil that's out there, can we? No, the soil is what it is. But we can control the type of seed that we're planting. And the question is, are we planting good seed or are we planting not so good seed? Are we planting good seed or are we planting bad seed? Are we offering something positive and uplifting? Or are we being negative and tearing people down? Are we encouraging or are we discouraging in our conversations? Are we making it easy, in other words, for the evil one to come in and snatch that seed away? Or are we making sure that the seeds we're planting are the seeds that Jesus would want us to plant?
The thing is, we are planting seeds whether we've walked with Jesus for a long time or whether Jesus is new to us and we're actually not even sure who he really is, but we're exploring that. At either extreme or in the points in between, we are planting seeds. We're in the seed planting business. You see, as long as we get to plant the seed of who Jesus is with somebody, they're experiencing the seed of who we are. They're experiencing the seed of who we are. Are we compassionate and caring as Jesus was, or are we rude and insensitive? Are we loving and forgiving, or are we mean and judgmental? Are we sharing and caring, or are we selfish and unfeeling? In the car, are we patient and understanding with the fish on the back of our car, or are we yelling and doing all kinds of hand gestures? In other words, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we are a reflection of Jesus. We have an opportunity to reflect Jesus, and we're planting seeds, and we need to be careful about what types of seeds we're planting. Are you taking advantage of all the opportunities to plant good seed? Have you allowed others to see Jesus before they even know about him, before you've even shared about him?
You know, in this day and time, we have all kinds of ways to plant kingdom seeds with people, all kinds of ways to reach hundreds, thousands, even millions of people in very short order through all the electronic media available, through email, even through bulk snail mail. You know, we can hit a lot of people in very short order. Here's the thing, though, even with all that, the best way to plant the seeds we're talking about this morning is still one-on-one. One-on-one. Some of you are here today. I love this one. Because we have this sign up on Route 71. And you read it. And I've had some before people say, well, you told me to like just show up. So I like just showed up. I think that's awesome. Just show up. And I did. That's awesome. And some of you here... Today, I was talking to a woman, I guess it was after first service. She had lived in Middletown, moved and did some missionary work in the Dominican Republic, and now she's back. I said, have you been here before? She said, no, but so many people invited me, and then you sent me that letter. We send this letter through the welcome wagon, about 80 people a month, new residents. So that letter was the final one. She said, I quit fighting it. Come on, I came, you know? After all those invites. So she got the letter, and some of you here, maybe you went to the Peach Festival, and you know, the snow cone and the popcorn was the clincher, and you decided to, I guess you were upset because you didn't get it this morning. But anyway, you came because of the Peach Festival or whatever. And so a lot of you are here for a lot of different reasons, but the vast majority of you are here because someone personally invited you one-on-one. Isn't that incredible? All those other ways, and we love all those other ways because, you know, you get a lot of different ways to reach people, but the majority are here. And it may have been someone who'd been walking with Jesus for 40 years, but I know some of you are here because someone who was walking with Jesus a week or two invited you. That's what's incredible. You don't have to be a grizzled old veteran in Christ to invite somebody to come and learn more about him. Yeah. Most of you are here today because someone made the effort to plant a seed with you. Most of you are here today because someone took seriously Jesus' mandate to go and share the good news of Jesus with the world. You're here today because somebody was willing, despite all the challenges, to sow some seed in you about who Jesus is and what he has to offer, hoping that it would produce. And it has. You're here. You're here.
We are called to sow kingdom seeds. Kingdom seeds. We are called to share with others what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Christ doesn't give us an option on that. There's a directive when he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are called to invite others to join us as we get closer to God and to one another. We are called to connect people with Jesus and the life he offers. It doesn't matter, again, if you've been walking for a long time or if it's been just for a day. Just put it out there. Plant some seeds. Just as Jesus was talking to his disciples and the crowd on the beach, he's talking to us. We are in the seed planting business. The incredible thing about this business, seed planting, is that it could have eternal benefits. You might be the only Jesus that somebody meets today. Plant that seed because it could affect someone's eternity. Jesus was teaching his disciples, and Jesus teaches us that some seeds will not take root. They will wither and die. Some will be choked out by thorns, by weeds. But there is some seed that will go to good soil, will grow and mature and bloom. Bloom to be what Jesus intended when Jesus first thought of that seed. Some of that seed that you scatter will connect with Jesus and the life he offers, and there is no other life than that. Absolutely none. So you say, okay, how do I start? We have an acronym called the FRAN, our FRAN network. We're going to call it our FRAN garden today. You start by maybe talking to your friends or your relatives or your acquaintances or your neighbors, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you go. Chick-fil-A, Walmart, wherever you go, plant seeds. It's time for you to bloom, and it's time for all of us together to plant seed after seed after seed so that others can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and live that life that Jesus offers us, a life of hope, a life of peace, a life where we are never, ever alone again. That's the good news, Connection Church. Let's live it. Let's believe it. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you so much for this word found in Matthew chapter 13. Help us get our Bibles later today or this week and open up Matthew chapter 13 and read it again and take even more of it in and study it and pick it apart. God, thank you so much for your word, the living word. Thank you that we have an opportunity to meet you face to face in so many ways. Help us, God. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at www.connectioncc.org. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life that he offers.